Good morning, Your Honors. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes. May it please the Court, my name is Elena Bullis, and I represent Mr. Ibrahim in this case. And we ask that this court reverse the trial court's grant of summary judgment to the respondent because AIU's policy clearly covers diminished value. That's what this case is about, which is a loss of use and value by virtue of the fact that the vehicle has been in a collision. And at the court below, what the case that the respondents relied upon was Moeller v. Farmers. And in that case, the court had to construe the contract, but they only focused on the collision comprehensive portion of the contract, which is distinguishable from this case, which is a claim under the UIM portion of the policy. And under the UIM portion of the policy, the language states that the insured is entitled to recover from the owner or operator of an underinsured motorist vehicle for property damage that the insured is legally entitled to recover. Let me backtrack on that. The insured is legally entitled to recover from the owner or operator of an underinsured motor vehicle. And what the court did was it just focused on the property damage limit of liability, which is the amount needed to restore the covered auto to its pre-loss condition. And we believe that the court construed that policy language very narrowly. And the first rule of policy construction is that the contract needs to be viewed in its entirety and not just one single portion of the policy. And in this case, if the court had read the restore to the covered auto to its pre-loss condition, in addition to what the insured is legally entitled to recover from a tortfeasor, Washington law is clear since the 1920s in the Nakamoto case, where diminished value is a covered loss, which is the loss of the vehicle, the pre-loss value of the vehicle, and the after repair value of the vehicle. That has been articulated in Washington jury instructions at 30.12 and 30.10.
Diminished value includes stigma damage.
Well, that's what I tried to figure out in the Moeller case, because the court did not articulate a definition of stigma damage. Stigma damage is really perceived damage to the vehicle because it's been in a collision. And our facts differ from that because we received a letter from AIU
The letter isn't part of the policy, and the evidence is, the reason I asked the question is because the expert submittal that you gave to the trial court, the expert himself used the phrase, the stigma that it has been in a severe wreck with substantial structural damage. So he seems to be characterizing this as stigma damages. So does Moeller seems to indicate that stigma damages are something outside of diminished value?
That's correct. Moeller does state that stigma damage is not part of, it's outside the policy.
So did the trial court err by finding these to be stigma damages based on that wording and then saying they weren't covered?
I don't believe the court found that there was stigma damage. I believe the court found that the diminished value was not covered under the policy. But when it comes to stigma damage, if we read the Moeller case at 145 and 146, the Moeller case is not inconsistent with the policy here, even though it's a UIM policy, because with the Moeller case, this is not only the repairs to the vehicle, but also the value of the vehicle. That's to put the insured or the claimant in the same position in terms of repairs to the vehicle and value of the vehicle. So I don't know, and I've struggled with this, I don't know how to reconcile stigma damage from diminished value, or how the court is defining stigma value. All I can say is in this case, we have evidence from an expert that the vehicle lost value. It may have been restored to its pre-loss condition, but it also lost value by virtue of the fact that it was in a collision. And with that evidence, that seems to satisfy that two-prong approach.
We should ignore Moeller?
I'm sorry?
We should ignore Moeller?
No, we should not ignore Moeller, but I don't know that stigma damage, which is perceived loss in value, that standing alone is, let me go back, with the stigma value, you know, the stigma loss, it's very difficult for me to address. All I can say is that it's a perceived loss in value. Here we have a loss in value documented by an expert. So Moeller doesn't say, okay, stigma value or stigma damage is just because the vehicle has been in collision. The stigma value, the diminished value is what you can get an expert to say.
What I'm struggling with is that the person who used the term stigma was your witness. So that seems to put it front and center. That he's saying it's the stigma that it has been in a severe wreck with substantial structural damage is why he's giving this opinion that the value is less even though it's been repaired. So it seems that we're confronted front and center with whether or not stigma damages are within or without that which is considered diminished value under this policy.
I can see the court's struggle to reconcile the two. I'll address that at rebuttal.
Good morning. May it please the court and counsel, Francis Maloney for respondent AIU. It's our position there's two positions here. First of all, this is a clear analysis of a straightforward policy interpretation.
Okay, let me ask you a question about that. I can't recall off the top of my head what's at CP42, but I know that part of what's at CP42 is the section that sets forth the following. Our limit of liability under this Part C for property damage to a covered auto from any one accident is the lowest of, and then it sets forth four measures.
Yes.
Okay. Is that the declarations page?
No, that is not the declarations page.
Well, then answer me this. Your insuring agreement, where you agree to cover for UIM for damage caused by an underinsured motorist, says, subject to the underinsured motorist property damage limit of liability stated on your declarations page, if you pay the premium for underinsured motorist property damage coverage, we will pay for property damage caused by an auto accident which an insured is legally entitled to recover from the owner or operator of an underinsured motor vehicle. So doesn't that mean that any limit on your obligation to pay must be found on the declarations page?
No, Your Honor.
Well, that's what it says, isn't it?
In part.
Plain meaning?
In part, Your
Plain
Honor.
Plain meaning to an average consumer. We're telling you to where you find the limit, and it's on the declarations page. Nowhere else on the declarations page. That's what you said to this insured if they pay the premium, right?
The most that would be paid under the coverage, the amount of coverage that they were paying for with that premium was the $25,000 total that's listed on the declarations page, which
that's
is the first
the
page.
Well, you're saying that this is a limit of liability, the thing that I read from CP42. But in your insuring agreement, you say if I want to find a limit to liability, if I pay the premium, the limit of liability, whatever it will be on the declarations page.
The entire, my answer to that, Your Honor, it does say that, but in addition to that is the tenet of contract law that you
read. So you want me to read into that plain sentence, subject to the underinsured motorist property damage limit of liability stated on your declarations page, and perhaps somewhere else in this lengthy agreement, if you pay the premium. That's what you think this means? We should insert "and perhaps somewhere else in this lengthy agreement"?
Your Honor,
you chose declarations page. Nobody else chose that.
That's what it says, yes.
So if it's it, to be a limit of liability for UIM, it has to be on the declarations page, doesn't it?
No.
And this isn't on the declarations page?
No.
So are we down to whether this could be recovered from a tortfeasor, a third-party tortfeasor?
No.
Why not?
Because every policy also includes, other than the declarations page, limitations, exclusions, conditions. One of the tenets of insurance contract law.
But you haven't said this is an exclusion. You've said it's a limit of liability.
It is a limitation on coverage, a limit of liability. Same thing.
It is not the same thing. There's a tenet of construction for exclusions, and that's different from a limit of liability.
No. I'm not saying it's an exclusion. I am not saying that, Your Honor. And I would agree with you there. A policy is read as a whole. It is read in context. And in addition to the phrase that you just read, which I believe is on page 16 of the policy, that's coverage C for UIM. It contains two or three pages of continuing language that defines that grant of coverage. That is the initial grant of coverage that essentially every policy in Washington provides, whether it's a homeowner's policy, an auto policy, or a health policy. There's a grant of coverage, and then it is further explained, limited, sometimes have exclusions. And in this one, it has the amount that we will pay, which was the similar language that was addressed in Mueller, where I think in Mueller it was analyzing like-kind quality. This policy contains the... I'll just pull it up. It's on page 17 of the policy, Your Honor. It says, as you read before, the amount that we will pay under this Part C for property damage is the lowest of the amount needed to restore the covered auto to its pre-loss condition. So where the declaration sets the ceiling under any circumstances of what they'll pay, this property damage limit of liability defines under what circumstances the insurance company will pay amounts different than that. If it could have cost $5 to repair something, and the plaintiff could have recovered $25,000, this contract language makes clear that they will be liable for the amount that they're contracting for under this policy, under the entire form, which is limited by this and by this language. And while the plaintiff is emphasizing the grant of coverage, our position is simply this. You look at the grant of coverage, but just as in any other policy, you also look to its limitations and conditions. If this were a homeowner's policy, for instance, and there was an earth movement episode,
would they be able to recover stigma damages from a third-party tortfeasor?
Would who, Your Honor?
Would the claimant?
Would they?
Forget insurance.
Forget insurance.
Somebody wrecked into her, and she brings a lawsuit. No insurance anywhere, no contracts at all, never reached an agreement for her to be wrecked into by the other party. So it's just a straight old tort. Can she recover
stigma damages? I believe so. I haven't researched that thoroughly.
So what we're down to is whether or not it's the policy language that excludes stigma damages. Not the nature of the insured event.
No,
the insured event's an auto collision between these two people.
I think that what we're down to is whether the most that the policy will pay is to bring that vehicle back to its pre-loss condition. because that's what the limiting language says. And so when we sent out the request for admission to the plaintiff, we literally parroted that language into the request for admission and asked, do you admit that this vehicle was repaired to its pre-loss condition? And the answer came back, yes, we admit that. And in addition to that, we have the expert's report, which you've already referenced, which states that after my personal inspection, I concluded this vehicle was fully repaired back to its pre-loss condition, and there is no remaining physical damage after these repairs. So what the trial judge did, she looked at this, she said, we've got an expert and a request for admission conceding that this vehicle was brought back to its pre-loss condition. We have the policy saying that the most we will pay is the amount to bring it back to its pre-loss condition. And the trial court found that that was the end of the argument, granted the summary judgment.
So how do you square that with Mohler, which Justice Madsen in dissent says treated condition as being value? Welcome to our world. 5-4 decisions that have to figure out what they mean. So.
You know, I have to confess, when I first started looking at this, I was like, oh, you know, Mohler's dispositive. Look at it. And if you look at Mohler, though, it really is not as persuasive or as on point at first blush for several reasons. First, in that case, Your Honor, they were litigating whether like, kind, and quality repairs. That was the phrase that was argued, okay, which is different than the phrase we have here. And in Mohler, the argument all along was that that was ambiguous, that should not apply. That should include stigma damages because it's ambiguous. Nowhere in any of this has the plaintiff argued that it's ambiguous or it should be and defined some other way. The plaintiff's argument is simply that you have to ignore paragraph C, the limitation of liability. All you get to look at is the grant of coverage, which would be contrary to all established law in Washington. And I've run out of time. Thank you.
I see the court's struggle with respect to the stigma damage because I addressed it myself and I knew it would be the first and foremost question that this court would be interested in. And I've had a hard time trying to reconcile it in Mohler. I'm not asking this court to overlook or overrule Mohler. What I'm trying to do is put it in a peg to fit this particular case. And it's kind of anomalous that the court was mentioned stigma damage, and then at another part of the opinion at 145 and 146, it would state that the bargain of the contract is to return the consumer to his pre-accident position with respect to the value of the car. Well, okay, first we have the repair prong of Mohler, and then we have the value prong of Mohler. So one is, has the car been repaired to its pre-loss condition? In our case, yes. Has it been returned to its pre-loss value? And it's no. Under Mohler, it would be, okay, Mohler doesn't really apply with respect to the like, kind, and quality in the repairs, but I'm trying to make it fit where it says, okay, it hasn't been returned to its pre-loss value. And to me, that is stigma damage. But I don't see how the court came up with, you can't bring a claim based upon stigma damage, but you can with respect to loss of value. And
I get out of Mohler is whatever the heck we do here, where there would be 4 votes to affirm. I just don't know where that vote is down there and trying to.
Well, and we ask the court to reverse because we're legally entitled to under the law.
Yeah. Thank you.